But they sold everything they had and brought it and laid it at the apostles' feet. And the apostles would distribute this wealth as they saw fit. And the Bible says that those who had an abundance didn't have too much. Those who lacked no good thing, right? It was this concept of like, it's funny because some people call it socialism. It's not socialism. It's more like socialism than capitalism. Do you know what I'm saying? But Jesus was not a socialist. Amen. I got one. Yeah. Amen. I wish you had said amen. Can I get amen? Because socialism takes money. Jesus never took money from anybody. We give money, and the Lord will use it. Can I get amen? So it's funny because if we think about money, money is a very important thing. Can I get amen? Isn't it, right? Who likes having money? For sure. For sure. Right? I like having money. You know, my wife went to Costco the other day, and she came back, and I was like, how much did you spend? And she told me, and I almost fell over. I was like, I don't even have boys in my house. I mean, me, but girls, what on earth? How are we eating all this food? But amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Think about, right, and this is not critical, church, me too, right? Think about, just close your eyes if you own a house, have a car, have some toys, whatever. Just close your eyes and think about, okay, is this my stuff? Right? Ooh. Tell an average American Christian, that's not your house. That's not your car. They'd be like, come again? Right? But this is the spirit, a supernatural shift inside these people by the Spirit of God. Right? Now, it doesn't say they had to. That's where Ananias and Sapphira get into all kinds of trouble. They want to be known as someone who's given all, but they don't give all. They sell their property, give some, and pretend like they gave all. They lie to Peter and the apostles, and when Peter figures it out, how does Peter know? Because the Spirit of God told him. And Peter gave him a shot. Are you sure? Are you sure that's how much you sold it for? And he goes, yep. Guy drops dead. Boom. Drops dead. We're living in that dispensation of time, my beloved. We are in that kingdom dispensation right now. His wife comes in a little bit later and asks her the same question. Are you sure? She goes, yep. Boom. She drops dead. They bury her outside too. Isn't that crazy? Do they have to give all? No. But they wanted to be known as something that they were not willing to do. Isn't that crazy? The Lord's like saying, look, figure out where you're at, what's comfortable to give, and then push it. That's it. Can I get amen? Is that all right? That's not even my sermon this morning. When we go to the gym, we stretch for like 10 minutes. That was stretching. My coach goes, are you warm? Is everybody warmed up? Here we go. So we're going to get back into the Sermon on the Mount this morning, but we're going to pull some stuff from last Sunday, right? Resurrection living. But we're back in the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to skip just a couple of verses from a few weeks ago into one verse this morning, Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Sermon this morning is called The Golden Rule. Everybody's like, oh, geez, I know this. Oh, do you? Oh, do you? We're going to examine this morning. In Jesus' name. Matthew 7, verse 12. Let's read this together. It's a short one. Let's read it all together out loud. Here we go. Ready? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For, everybody say for. For, or here's why we should do this, Jesus is saying. This is the law and the prophets. See, almost everyone knows this. And let's think about this. Even people who aren't Christians know this one, right? Gosh, my goodness, we hear this. This one's quoted all the time. You know, like, well, you treat, you know, do unto others you have them do unto you. Some people twist their arm. They say, do to others before they do to you. I'm going to get you first, right? Like, nope, that's not what that says, not at all. But let's unpack this, all right? We're going to bounce around a few sections of Scripture here. And I think bring some clarity to this, and it's going to be challenging. I'm just going to warn you, in Jesus' name. First, Let's remember again that this is another topic in a sermon that Jesus preached. One sermon, right? Sermon on the Mount is one sermon. Jesus preached this thing straight through. And when this is applied, we're going to get here in just a few weeks. We're almost done with this. And when this whole sermon is applied, Jesus promises that it is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock, right? On a good foundation. And when the storm hits, right? The rains fall, the waters rise, the winds blow, they beat against this house, and the house will stand. It will. Promise from the Lord, right? Now, if the promise is, look, you do this, 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 here's this list of stuff, right? And here's the promise. Here's what I guarantee you is going to happen. And then we come to the Lord and say, Lord, well, we did, A, E, M, and X. And my house fell down. He's like, right. Wow, that's uncomfortable, isn't it? Right? We've got this move today in the church where it's sloppy grace. Hey, man, it's all good. Look, grace is amazing. We will never get to the bottom of grace, but grace is here for me to do the right thing. Right? As I was working on this, thinking about now we build a house. Now we don't use stones anymore. We pour concrete, right? We dig a hole in the ground, they pour the concrete. But just, it wasn't too long ago, my beloved, my house is on stone foundation, right? All these stones, you had to gather all these stones together, and that's what you build it with, mortar and all these things, right? Well, guess what? The Sermon on the Mount is all these points that Jesus makes. Each one of them is a stone. When you take this stone and this stone and this stone and this stone, and we put all these stones together, he's saying, now you've built a good foundation. Once your foundation's good, he's like, you can build pretty much whatever you want on that thing. That's what Paul says. Take heed how you build. Take heed how you build. He's like, look, build whatever you want. Everybody's life can look a little bit different as far as what exactly we're doing in the kingdom. Can I get amen? Everybody's got different gifts. Everybody's got different grace from the Lord. Everybody's got a little different flavors. I like this kind of music. I like this kind of music. Da, da, da. I like pink shirts. You like whatever color shirt you wear. I don't know. I like iced coffee. You like hot coffee. Dude. Too bright, it's too dark, it's too loud, it's too soft. My goodness, the Lord's like, will you stop it? It's like my kids, dude, my older ones, are they in here? They're gone, yes. Dude, and I just had flashbacks of me and my brother. We go to get in the car today, and Olivia jumps in the front seat, and Madeline comes out, says something to her, and I hear Olivia go, really? And I look over, and Olivia gets out of the front seat, gets in the back seat. So you know what was said? It was, it's my turn. I remember my father being like, dude, I am going to lay hands on you. And I thought, I understand now. But we do that in church, don't we? We bicker about the dumbest stuff. The Lord's like, oh my goodness, come on. So, you guys understand, this point today is another stone in this foundation. And as we learn to lay these stones out, Jesus promises whatever you build is going to make it. So why do ministries fail? Because the foundation is not right. It's that simple. Is that good? Take a look at the end of the verse. According to Jesus, our great teacher, treating others the way I want to be treated, quote, is the law and prophets. In other words, according to Jesus, if we were to sum up the entirety of the Old Testament, the entirety of all the do's and don'ts in the Old Covenant, this is it. In everything, everybody say everything. Everything, treat other people the way you want to be treated. See, we got to get something here. The commandments of the Old Testament are not gone. One preacher preached about this one time, and I was listening to him, and he says, why are we so hung up in getting rid of the law? He goes, how many people think murdering is a good idea? And they want to steal stuff. Look at that. Thou shalt not murder. Like, who disagrees with that? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Anybody think that's not a good one? No, of course not. We would look at the law. Paul says the law is good. If we use the law properly in the kingdom, the law, the Bible says, Paul says, is a tutor to lead us to Christ. See, a tutor's not a teacher. A tutor is someone that helps you learn what the teacher's trying to tell you. Can I get amen? See, what the law's supposed to show me is that I cannot approach God in my own righteousness. I can't do it. I break one law, break them all. I'm a sinner. We have to come to the Lord through Christ, through the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's the only way that I can come. Can I get amen? However, Jesus says that not a jot or tittle shall pass from the law till all has been fulfilled, right? Paul says it this way in Romans chapter 8. Those of us who are filled with the Spirit of God will fulfill the law. Romans chapter 8. Go look it up. Spirit of God is always going to point us back to what God says. Can I get amen? See, here's where we're gonna dig in this next point for the rest of the morning. We need to understand something very important about this statement from Jesus. It is not a statement intended for us to use against other people who we feel are mistreating us. Come on, let me give you a little scenario. Someone is mistreating you, and you would say to them, you should treat other people the way you want to be treated. Right? How many people have ever done that? You're willing to admit it? For sure. How many people have thought that? Oh yeah, now you also have your hands up, for sure. Right? Absolutely. That's not what Jesus is saying here. Right? The scriptures, my beloved, are not typically, doesn't mean we can never correct somebody. Verse of the day, I think it was, the other day, was the one out of Timothy, right? All scripture, maybe it was this morning, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for reproof, rebuke, and instruction, right? So that the man of God can be adequate, not the pastor. It doesn't mean pastor for man of God. It means a Christian. Right? The Word of God is the whole thing, cover to cover. Churches, and I think I posted on Facebook, and this when I hear pastors and churches that don't preach out of the Old Testament, scratch my head. What? Dude. Right? Paul quotes the Old Covenant. Jesus quotes the Old Testament. Peter quotes the Old Testament. James quotes the Old Testament. They're pointing us back to the Old Testament. Look, here's the standards. We just have someone who's helping us fulfill these standards now. Is that right? See, this statement, it is a statement that Jesus speaks to me about how I treat you. I'm not allowed to use this against you if you're treating me a way that I don't like. I'm definitely not allowed to use this against you if I'm acting like an idiot and you're calling me out on it. Can I get amen? Right? If we're sinning and acting like a jerk, and then you call me out on it, I can't say to you, oh, you should treat others the way you want to be treated. Can I get amen? See, when Jesus was tempted by Satan, think about this. He quotes the scriptures all three times, specifically the law. Some of you have heard this. Some of you are newer with this. Is he rebuking Satan with the law, or is he talking to himself? Church, I'm telling you, years ago, the Lord showed me this, and I was like, oh, my goodness. Never heard anybody teach it. We always say when Jesus is tempted, hey, man, you know, fasted 40 days. Hey, if you're the Son of Man, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus is saying, oh, no, but it is written, you shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. And I've heard for 20 years. See, oh, Jesus is rebuking the devil right there. And it was probably 5 years ago I read that one time, and the Spirit of God said to me, Jesus is rebuking himself. The Word of God is not written to the devil. It's written to me. It's written to the church, right? The Word of God is written for us to corral our behavior. Saw something this week. This guy said the devil is a liar and a cheater, and all he does is break the rules. Right? And then to me, the Holy Spirit said to me, so why do you keep getting upset about it? Right? There's guys I used to play golf with that they cheated all the whole round. And then he'd be like, see, I beat you. I'm like, whatever, bro. If I used to, if you know anything about golf, there's an extra club that you hide in your pocket. It's called a hand wedge. You know, and you walk in, you hit a ball into the woods, and you walk out, and you're like, well, I found it. Nobody's there witnessing it, right? Or guys, they have a ball in their pocket, and there's a hole in the bottom of their pocket, and they walk up, and they shake their pant leg, and a ball rolls out. Hey, there it is right there. Look at that. Oh, yeah. Oh, man, golf. You want to talk about a golf that will test your righteousness, a game that will test your righteousness? Is the game of golf, because you can cheat like a bandit in that game, man. Right? Crazy. But you know what? I don't care. You want to cheat and you think you beat me because you cheated? Go ahead. I'm not going to cheat. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? See, the devil doesn't care what the Bible says. All he does is cheat and steal. He doesn't care what that the Bible says I shouldn't lie or that I shouldn't lust or that I shouldn't covet. That is written to us to rebuke us. It's written to us to give us a weapon to use against those temptations. Can we use Scripture to correct someone else? Of course. Should we? Yes. Thank you very much. One person's brave enough. As long as we are taking, as Jesus says, the time to pull the beam out of our own face so that I can see clearly to help my brother with the speck in his eye. Right? As long as I'm taking the word of God and applying it to myself accurately, humbly, right? I'm coming at this thing, man, am I living right? Right? I'm open to criticism. I'm open to people speaking into my life. I'm open to people saying, man, look, you're off, bro. You're off over here. You gotta straighten this out, right? As long as that's what I'm living, then I'm in a good position to help someone else out. Is that all right? Think about this. The statement from Jesus is meant for me to corral my treatment of others, not for me to corral others' treatment of me. See, here's the thing. However I treat other people, good or bad, is laying up seed for how I will be treated. This hit me several years ago. A good ministry friend of mine fell into sin. Lost everything. Marriage failed. Ministry gone. Everything gone. Gone. And I remember thinking about it one day. You know, he came to see me and told me what had gone on. And I felt like this. It wasn't a good thing. I felt in my heart. Thinking, my goodness, man, how on earth could you do that? Now, I didn't say that. Praise the Lord. I had a little bit of wisdom exercising at that moment, keep my mouth shut. But as I went home, and because I really looked up to this person a lot, and it was hurtful that they had made this decision to do this. And as I prayed about it, the Spirit of God said to me this, what if that was you? And I immediately said, well, I would never do that. And he said, oh, really? Right there, my beloved, was this whole season of God digging judgment out of my heart. He says, son, if that's you, how do you want to be treated? See, church, this is not meant as a defense mechanism. It's meant as a mechanism of compassion. Right? If that's me, how do I want to be treated? Right? If it was my marriage that failed, how do I want to be treated? If it was my kids that were in trouble, how do I want to be treated? If I was the one with financial struggles, how do I want to be treated? That's what Jesus is getting at, right? If my life is spiraling out of control, how do I want folks to treat me? Because that's what Jesus is saying here. Paul says it like this, whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap. So if we look on someone who has made a poor decision, fallen, moral failure, financial ruin, lost a business, lost a ministry, marriage failure, whatever it might be, and we look at these people with judgment, and we look at these people with harshness, and we look at these people like, well, gosh, you know, if you would have just done this, you know what's going to happen? At some point, you are going to want someone to be compassionate to you, and it will not come. Because God keeps an account of how we treat our brothers and sisters. Can I get an amen? Anybody ever mistreated anybody? Wow. But you know what it is, my beloved? We need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, because he will tell you, you're wrong. You're wrong. Go tell that person you're sorry. Go tell that person you know, whatever. Go make that right. Can I get amen? Let's keep digging. Is this all right? Think about this. We're talking about, again, not only in this foundation, but resurrection living, right? This is someone who's living by the Spirit of God from the inside out. This is what the Spirit of God is going to convict us to do from the inside out. Can I get amen? We don't typically think about this as like, wow, look at the power of God. But it is the power of God, because as humans, we're like, wow, look at this jerk. What an idiot. Amen. See, as Jesus is saying, let's keep digging here, right? As Jesus is saying that if we treat other people well, that they will treat us well in return. Nope. Maybe they will, and that's awesome. But we have to remember, number one, it's written only to Christians, right? This is not a requirement for someone who's not a Christian. So if I'm out there in the world, in the workplace, family members, whatever's going on, if I treat them the way I want to be treated, it doesn't mean that they're going to treat me back the same way, especially if they don't know Jesus, right? We need to stop holding sinners to the standards that Christians should be held to. We see somebody that doesn't know Jesus and they're sexually sinning and we're like, oh my gosh, what are they doing? The only thing they ought to do. Why do they keep, you know, doing this? Dude, because they don't know any better. They're like, hey, this is great. It's fun. Feels good. Because, you know, church, let's face it, sin does feel good. For a season. Sweet to the lips and bitter to the stomach. Is this all right? See, what Jesus is saying is that there is one, capital O, who's watching every single thing we do, listening to every word we speak, examining every thought and the intent of our hearts. Just close your eyes and repeat this after me, right? Here we go. Say, I can't get away with a thing. Come on. You know what? Sometimes I get mad about that. I'm like, can I just have one day? You know, when I hit my third tee shot into the pond in a row, like, can't I just have a colorful word for just 1 minute? Nope. But you know, church, the closer we get to the Lord, the less we want to get away with stuff. I don't even want to do that. To me, the saddest people on the earth are lukewarm Christians, right? They're like, you know, got 1 foot in church, got 1 foot in the world, you know? They're like, I like going to heaven when I die, but I kind of want to live like the devil still, right? They're uncomfortable in a prayer meeting, but they can't hit the clubs anymore, right? Dude, right? Miserable. Anybody know those Christians? Anybody been one of those Christians? Anybody one right now? Come on, it's miserable. When we start going on wandering off the rails, we know it. We're wandering into the weeds. My goodness, do I feel like a jerk. Come on. And you hear that little whisper, like, where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you going? Elijah, up in the mountain, the cave of the mountain, the Spirit of God comes and says, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Why are you here? Is this all right? If we're going to be like Jesus, which is everyone's destiny, right? Romans chapter 8. Then we can't be affected by all the garbage out there in the world. We can't keep getting offended by everything. We can't keep defending ourselves. See, either we get offended or we defend ourselves, right? Man, every time I feel like defending myself, the Spirit of God's like, shut your mouth. Like, did you do what you know is the right thing to do before the Lord? Yes or no? If it's no, then let's clean it up. And if it's yes, then it's yes. And I don't know what else to do. Right? The Lord, if my heart is innocent before the Lord, right? Then if people are upset, then people are upset. Church, we're in a such a cultural slide right now where just doing the right thing is going to get you all kinds of flack. Man. It's. I'm hearing rumors that there's things that are going to try to turn it around, and praise the Lord, but I'm preparing for this to get ugly out there. Can I get amen? See, when someone mistreats me, according to Jesus, I need to treat them the way I would want to be treated when I mistreat someone. I'm trying to word this several different ways so we're hitting it from all these angles. You understand what I'm saying? When someone mistreats me, what I want to do? I want to attack. Right? You can't talk to me like that. You can't treat me like this. You can't say that about me. Whatever. Let's fight. But what Jesus says, and everything, therefore, treat others the way you want to be treated. This is the law of the prophets. He's saying when someone mistreats me, what I need to think about is I want to treat this person the way I want someone to treat me when I mistreat them. So when I'm off the rails and I'm acting like a jerk and I'm angry and I'm saying things I shouldn't be saying and I'm doing all kinds of things, you know what I want? I don't want somebody coming at me. When I'm upset and hurt, I want someone that's going to listen and be kind and be gentle and be understanding. That's what I want. God forbid if I ever had some kind of moral failure as a pastor and a minister, and I want people to gather around me and pick me up, not condemn me. I'm not planning on having one of those. We're doing great. But my beloved, I'm human. And because I'm human, I'm capable of doing awful things. Anyone else willing to admit that? For sure. But by the grace of God, so go I. Let me say it like this one more time, and then we're going to get into some other passages of Scripture. I might be done a little bit earlier today. Maybe. We'll just get some other Scripture that's not in my notes. Galatians 6, one of my favorite ones. You know, do me a favor on the TVs there back there, Miss Ruth, if you can. Back up into Galatians 5:25. And then we're going to read this straight through. Some of you that have been with us a long time, you're going to be like, okay, I know this already. Some of you that have been with the Lord probably know this, but some of you that are newer, let's look at this because I want to show you something important here. I'm pulling up my Bible software here on my computer. The Bible, when it was written, my beloved, was not written with chapters and verses. All that stuff was added afterwards, right? So when you read your Bible, please do not read it like any other book. Don't read, okay, I read chapter 1 today. Okay, cool. Yeah, chapter 2 tomorrow, chapter 3. Okay, it's fine. But what I want you to pay attention to as you grow in the Lord and mature and start hearing the Spirit of God is read until you see the thought end. All right, because the chapters, sometimes they work great, sometimes it's terrible. Can I get amen? So we're going to show you something here, if this is going to work. Hang on a second. I love technology until it doesn't work properly. Galatians 5, we got 25 up there? Oh, yes. We might need to back up a little bit more, Ruth. Hang on. Maybe 22. Go to 22 for me. We're not going to be done early. You need to treat me like you'd want to be treated. Here we go. But, I'm going to say but. So we will not back up further than this, but when you go home today, back up a couple more verses and see what Paul's talking about. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Let's read it together. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, so in other words, he's talking about if you're born again, right? You're alive because you've been born again, right? If you live, if you're living by the Spirit of God, right? Resurrection living, let us also walk by the Spirit. The Greek word for walk there is behave. Let your behavior be dictated by the Spirit of God. So we just read what the Spirit of God is going to produce in our behavior. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's what the Holy Spirit is going to direct our behavior to look like. Can I get amen? Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Skip the chapter break. Brethren, if anyone, ever say anyone, is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, what does it look like to be spiritual? We just read it. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That's a spiritual person. Not someone who can lay hands on sick people. I've seen people lay hands on sick folks and their marriage is a disaster. Their kids are a mess. Their finances are a mess. They don't know how to be nice to folks. They don't know how to treat folks. That's not spiritual, according to Paul. You who are spiritual, judge this person, distance yourself as far away as you possibly can, because whatever's wrong within might get on you. That's not what it says. Paul says, you know, do you find someone who's made a mess out of their life, climb down in the muck, get your hands dirty, get some poo on your shoe, and help them out. Now, there's a big condition on here that Paul doesn't put in here that I'm going to put in here. I'm not adding anything to the Word of God. You cannot help someone who's not willing to be helped. We've got this big thing missing in the church today. It's called repentance. I'm sorry, that's not repenting. As I said a moment ago, crying is not repenting, changing is. See, someone is willing to repent. Someone who wants to repent, they're say, pastor or whoever, you come to you, look, I don't care what it costs me. I'm done with this. I don't care who knows. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care. Church, you know what? When my life changes, when I stopped caring what anybody thought, I didn't care who knew. I didn't care. You want to know about my life? Here it is. Boom. Ugly, messy, disgusting, repulsive things. I don't care. You want to judge me? Go for it. Go for it. I'm going to come clean. And if that makes you uncomfortable, not my problem. Wow. And you know what I received? It was terrifying. You know what I received? Grace. I received kindness. I received mercy. It's not what I was expecting. I was expecting judgment. But I didn't even care. You want to judge me? Go ahead. I'm sick of living like this. I was willing to take judgment. Fine. I'm done. That's repentance. Can I get amen? Let's look what he keeps saying here. Restore this one in a spirit of gentleness. Treat others as you would like to be treated. Who does not want to be treated gently? I didn't think so. Each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. I would never do that. Really? Okay, maybe you're never going to do that, but you're already doing this. Oswald Chambers, powerful man of God. He's been dead a long time, but this is one of my favorite phrases from him is he says, the way you know that you're growing in grace is that you recognize that the death row inmate is only half as bad in actuality as you know yourself to be in possibility. In other words, if you're like, what does that mean? So the guy in death row got caught. I didn't. He's going to die for what he did, and I know that I can be twice as evil as him in my heart. I know it. Now, would I actually do it? Maybe. Ever been cut off in traffic more than once? You're like, that could kill somebody right now. For sure. Make it look like an accident. Tell you what, I got a big piece of property. Some of you have been to my house. We're close to boys starting to show up. Some of you Duval boys, you might want to listen to this. Where are they at? Oh, they're out of here. All right. I'm going to dig a hole in my backyard, a big one. And when boys start coming off from my girls, we're going to say, let's take a walk, son. You heard one of my girls, they will never find you. And nobody's going to think it's me because I'm the preacher. No way, he would never do that. Look, do you see what I'm saying, my beloved? Temptation comes on everybody. In the point of Jesus, at times, look, the Bible is very, very clear that temptations, it's funny, Paul says in this way, and I think it's in Thessalonians, no temptation has overtaken you, is the word. Overtaken is not a good word right there. Can I get amen? It's not like there's temptation and I'm pushing back. He says, no, nothing's overtaking you. That's not common to man. But God is faithful and he makes a way out. Right? Well, what's the way? Sometimes it's coming clean and getting some brothers and sisters to come around you and say, man, it's all right. It's not okay, but you're going to be all right. Right? Look what he says. Bear one another's burdens, thereby fulfill the law. Ooh, the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Wow. Here is the maturity test from Paul. You want to see who someone's a mature Christian? It's not laying hands on sick folks. It's not preaching. It's not leading worship. It's not running a ministry. It's not none of that stuff. Garbage. I want to look around. When I see mature folks, is I want to see someone who can find someone who is just, nobody wants them. Say, man, I got you. I got you. Let's go. Now, again, they can resist you. Fine. I'm learning that. 10 years pastoring, I'm learning. Sometimes people dig their heels in and you go, okay, you're not ready for help yet. That's all right. I'll wait. Because you will be. Can I get amen? As my kids get older, some of you got young kids more on my age. Look, so our kids are going to push it. Can I get amen from everybody who's got kids a little bit older? Right? Sometimes with our kids, we got to let them go. All right. That's going to hurt. Right? But I'll be here to clean it up when you come back. Can I get amen? See, the person who's been caught or fallen or sinned or whatever we want to call that issue needs to show some fruit of repentance, right? There's again another scripture we do not talk about in church anymore. Bear fruits in light of repentance, right? If someone's really repenting, you'll be able to tell. You can't restore someone who isn't sorry. But if that person is remorseful and repentant, our job, my beloved, is to restore that person in a spirit of gentleness, right? Guard our own hearts that we don't fall into that temptation ourselves. Why? Because however we treat the one who is fallen is the way we'll be treated when we fall. Oh, I'm never going to fall. I hope not. With that attitude, I hope not. Can I get amen? Romans chapter 13, we're done right here. I told you to be a little bit early. Maybe. Romans 13, verse 8. We've got some time. Let's get a little more context here. Romans 13. Let's go to verse 5. I have verse 8 in my notes here, but let's go to verse 5. Just get a little bit of context here. It says, those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So again, we're talking about the Sermon on the Mount, but we're bringing it in from last Sunday, resurrection living, right? If the Spirit of God is in me, then I'm going to think things that the Spirit of God wants me to think. Right? The mindset on the flesh is... oh, nobody wants to say it out loud. Death, thank you. The mindset in the flesh is death, but the mindset in the Spirit is life and peace, because the mindset in the flesh is hostile toward God. It does not subject itself to the law of God and is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. It doesn't say that God doesn't love them. That's not what it says. But if I'm living in my flesh, I cannot please the Lord, right? However, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, am I in the right chapter? I'm not. My goodness gracious. I'm confusing myself talking to you guys. It's going to be a real long sermon now. Goodness gracious. You guys are like, where are you reading, man? I don't know. It worked. It was still good. All right, let's go. Romans chapter 13. Everybody there with me? I'm there now. Let's back up one verse. I have verse 8. Let's back up one verse. Render to all what is due them. Tax to whom tax is due. Ouch. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Verse 8. Look at this one, church. Owe nothing to anyone, except to love one another. Now, the Greek word there is agapeo, right? Agapeo, verb, not a noun, not a concept. It's a verb. Got to do something, right? Got to do something to show us this. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, it is summed up in this thing. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Therefore, or verse 10, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Wow. The prophet, I believe it's Zephaniah, chapter 3, he talks about this remnant that's going to rise up, and he says that this remnant of Israel will do no wrong. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. And as I was reading this week, this was a sermon. It was an easy one. I got this one done by like Wednesday sometime. I was like, praise God. Sometimes I'm up at like 3:30 Sunday morning, like, Lord, help me. Not this morning. Praise the Lord. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. You know what the Spirit of God said to me? He said, son, the first neighbor you need to worry about is your wife. Or your husband, ladies. If you got kiddos living at home, there's some neighbors. Hopefully they hit like 19 or 20 and they become actual neighbors. I love you, but go. These $1,000 runs to Costco are getting old, all right? Go. Man. Look at this, church. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Wow. Could you imagine if every time something rises up in us and we feel like, whoa, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. The Holy Spirit said to me years ago, he says, you better be careful how many pieces you give away. You might need some of that. They ain't going to give it back. Right? Step back, examine it. Man, is this okay? Is this okay? If this was me, is what I want what I'm about to say? Come on, church. Sometimes we're getting situations where we have to deal with something. Right? Can I get amen? How many people have ever been in a situation where you got to deal with it? For sure. If you're a parent, step parent, foster parent, anything, sometimes kids are just crazy. And you're like, all right, that's enough, Junior. Here it comes. But even in those situations, I'm thinking, man, if someone had to deal with me, because I was just off the rails, how do I want it? Because however I give it is how it's going to come back. Is that good? Father, in Jesus' name, let's stand up. Told you guys, done. Look at that, 15 minutes early. Praise the Lord. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law. I don't know. Do you think about maybe if God, when he gave the law way back with Moses, if he just told him, hey, you guys, you're really just supposed to love each other. Think they might have got it? I don't know. Probably not. Because, look, we can't love people the way God wants us to without the Holy Ghost. Can't do it because we're selfish and angry, and we get offended easily. All of us. Amen. So, Lord, we just love you this morning. And, God, we're close, just a few weeks away from the end of this series and the Sermon on the Mount, Lord, a teaching, the greatest sermon ever preached, ever, 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 by a long shot. And Lord, we want to see the supernatural truth in this sermon, God. Not this one on Sunday, this one that Jesus preached, that we're tearing apart. Lord, that I want to build stuff that stands up. I want to. I want a marriage that's just rock solid. I want kids that when they get older, they don't depart. I want finances that are blessed. Lord, I want relationships that stand the test of time. I want to walk in your favor, God. I want to walk in your favor. I know you love me. We know that you love us, God. That's not an issue. We know that. But we want favor. We want to please you, God. We want to turn what you've given. We want to turn it back to you. Say, Lord, you've given me so much, and here I'm giving this little bit back to you. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name, to live this truth right here, God, that from this moment forward, every time we're dealing with people, saint or sinner, God, Lord, that we look at them and say, man, if this was me, if the roles are reversed, how do I want to take this? How do I want this person to speak to me if I'm the one in trouble? Help us, Father, before we say anything from this day forward, to process that and say, man, let me sow what I'd want to reap. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you in the name of the Lord. If you need prayer for anything, please come on up. We'd love to pray with you. Facebook and YouTube. Blessings on you guys. Have an awesome week. We'll be here Wednesday for prayer. Oh, guys, one more announcement. I forgot. Not this Tuesday, so like 2 days from now, but next Tuesday is the, I don't know, whatever, 20th, I think, or something. I will be relaunching Bible study. We're going to be doing it Zoom online, so we don't got to worry about driving and all that stuff. It will be a little bit later in the evening, probably like 7:30-ish. So I'll shoot out some information. We're going to be probably rolling like 6 Tuesdays in a row. Take a little bit of a break as summer kicks off. Probably hit something middle of the summer. But we'll there's no program. We're just going to be in the scriptures, right? So not like we're going to use this Devo or this thing. We're just going to open the Word of God on Zoom so we can interact with each other. And those of you that cannot make Tuesday evenings, we'll record the Zoom. I can do that as the host. I can record the whole thing and post it up on our website. So if you guys wanted to check it out afterwards, it'll be available. So that is the plan, is not this Tuesday, next Tuesday. Information coming out very, very soon with details on that. So guys, awesome week. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you guys.